the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And I want to also, and welcome back to the show, I want to thank Jesse Edwards. Jesse, I hope I got your last name right, man. I apologize if I didn't. It's the first night working with Jesse. Dan is coming back. He's just taking the night off because he's gone to see Lamb of God. Is that the band?
Yeah. I think it's a metal band.
Yeah. He went to see Lamb of God at the Medford Armory. And how do I say no to a guy's night off for nights? Of course, you have to go. You must go to that. You have to. You must. Like John Hurt and Alien. We must go on. We have to go on.
Yes, and what happened to John Hurt and Alien?
Well,
he took it off the face.
Yeah, he took the alien off the face.
He did take the alien off the face. You know, guys, it's not like taking a foul ball, getting hit by a pitch, okay?
Well, what are you getting all serious about?
What happened to John Hurt and Alien?
It didn't really happen, Phil.
No, but don't make fun of a guy.
Yeah, but when's that ever going to really happen?
Wait, are you guys trying to tell me that making jokes about a guy having an alien sucking onto his face? Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, you're all talking like every day a guy gets an alien sucking his face. It ain't like that at all. Not like that at all. Not by a long shot, Mr. Henry. What happens usually is real life stuff. But still, you're going to make fun of it?
I ain't making... You're the guys that are making fun of it. John Hurt, in that movie, says, we have to go on, we must go on. He wanted to keep going, investigating into this large alien spacecraft. He came upon all of those alien eggs, and one of them opened up and attached the alien to his face. Is that your point?
Yes, my point exactly. John Hurt's character, which was the... I forget the name of his character. Was Billy or Bobo?
It wasn't Bobo. It was like Kyle.
Kyle?
I don't know, but the character was so curious and wanted to so investigate, and generally those characters are dispensable in the very first few pages of the script, and that's what happened to John Hurt. He was dispensable immediately. He got the alien on his face, and...
Yeah, then the alien blew... It came busting out of his stomach.
Right, and one of the more memorable scenes in all of film history. So the moral of the story is what?
The moral of the story is leave well enough alone, I think, sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
All right, well, it's a pretty good moral of the story. There's no question about that. All right, speaking of outer space, I did want to mention the world's oldest woman, but we also have a story here about NASA wanting to crash two probes into the moon. So which is more intergalactic?
Bobby, old lady.
Exactly. So we'll start off with, and we say that with great respect and reverence, ma'am. Her name is Dina Manfredini. Dina Manfredini of Johnson, Iowa. She received her title as the world's oldest person, and she got the title a day after she died. This lady's died. She's dead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, when Dina Manfredini of Johnston was born, she had 15 days to get her bearings before the first running of the Boston Marathon. That was in 1897. 1897 she was born, and 115 years later, the world's oldest person and the marathon remained the same age. On Tuesday, Manfredini became the oldest person on Earth when Bessie Cooper Bessie Cooper of Monroe, Georgia, died at the age of 116. So this lady, Dina, yeah, because I was going to say, why would you name someone the world's oldest person when they're dead?
Well, they'd still be the world's oldest person.
No, they wouldn't, because they wouldn't be alive.
Yeah, but they still have the record.
It doesn't make any difference, man. It doesn't, who's the world's oldest person? You're talking about somebody that's alive. Do you understand what I'm saying, Robert?
I sort of do, and I sort of don't. On the one hand, Ms. Gray and Bud are saying... What they say makes sense, and on the other hand, what you say.
Well, that's really taking a stand.
No, I know it, Robert. Robert is trying to be kind to you. He really agrees with us that you can be the oldest person on Earth and still be dead.
I don't see how that's possible. How can you be...
Mr. Henry, think about it. Let's say this lady, Dina Manfredini's... what is her name?
Dina Manfredini.
Let's say that lady is the oldest lady on Earth, which... Yes, she is, right?
Yes.
And okay, now she dies. Okay?
Okay.
She still was the oldest, or is the oldest lady on Earth.
Oh, I see what Phil's saying. You're saying she's no longer whoever the next oldest is.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She may be the record holder of the person. Let's say, for instance, she holds the record as the person that lived the longest. You know.
Yeah, it still doesn't make any sense.
But if she's not alive, she can't be the oldest person on Earth. If she's dead, she's dead.
Yeah, but she was.
She was, but she isn't anymore. So let's say there's somebody that's 110. That's nowhere near as old as Mrs. Manfredini was, but Mrs. Manfredini and also Bessie Cooper of Monroe, Georgia, they're not with us any longer. They're gone. So now the oldest person on Earth is somebody who's 110 someplace. You see?
I don't know.
Man, you gotta be the dumbest clod that ever rolled down a hill not to understand that.
All I'm saying is...
Oh, we heard what you were saying, bud.
Bud, you've got to work on being smarter. You can't... The charm of being a magnificent idiot, as we like to call you, it's wearing thin.
No, bud, you're not that dumb.
Well, then why do you do that?
What are you talking about? You guys didn't make it clear what you were talking about, so that's why I don't know what you're talking about.
Because we didn't make it clear.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't make it clear what you're talking about either, so don't be talking to me about it.
You're the one talking.
No, you were talking.
All right, can we stop and let me just... In any event, so that's great. All right, Iowa woman is now the world's oldest person. She's alive, she's with us, and she's 115 years and 245 days old, which is no longer... She's no longer sweeping snow off of her driveway like she did at age 106, or cleaning houses like she did into her 90s. At age 110, she left the West Des Moines home she had inhabited since 1939 and moved to a Johnson nursing home. A day after she inherited the oldest mantle, her family declined any interviews to protect her privacy. So she finally went into a nursing home at 110, and she left the home that she'd been in since 1939.
Was she born in that house?
I don't know.
She was born in 1897.
Yeah.
Not 1939.
Are you saying that the house...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Miss Gray, you're being kind of stupid today.
Don't you call me... You know, take it back.
Miss Gray.
Take it back.
I take it back.
Well, I'm going to say it, and I won't be taking it back. You are a little thick today, not to understand that.
I'm thick, am I? You know what? I didn't find those tampons.
Yeah, you go look for the tampons.
Gavin is great.
Shut up, and don't you... I say the word tampon, you don't.
Fine. If I had a nickel for every time that she gets up and leaves this studio... All right, so anyway, on Tuesday, Manfredini became the oldest person on Earth when Bessie Cooper died in Monroe, Georgia, at the age of 116. Much of her story is well known, though, because her longevity was already attracting notice years ago. It's the first time I've heard of this gal, but Manfredini was born April the 4th, 1897, in Italy, and before immigrating to the United States, lived in Fipalgo, Italy. She arrived on Ellis Island on December the 20th of 1920, so she was a 23-year-old woman when she arrived, and she was on the ship Olympic from Cherbourg, France. According to Margaret, according to Ellis Island records. She was married to Ricardo Manfredini and had four children. After Ricardo was injured on the job as a miner in Des Moines, she earned money by cracking eggs in a food processing plant and working on an assembly line filling shells with gunpowder during the war. She always cleaned houses on the side. For dinner, she would put a big bowl of pasta in the middle of the table with polenta on the side, and the children raved about the homemade tortellini. They told a Register columnist in 2004. I'm an old lady, she said, but I work hard. I like work. Only eight people have ever reached the age of 116, according to S. Stephen Coles, the executive director of the Gerontology Research Group, which certified Manfredini's record. Today, there are 70 people throughout the world certified to be 110 years or older, though the organization estimates there are likely between 300 and 450 super centenarians in the world, and between 65 and 70 in the United States. Information about people who live a long time, about 40% longer than the average U.S. life expectancy, is useful to Coles and other researchers who are trying to find any similarities among people on their list. And now, you know, with DNA mitochondrial DNA and looking at genetic things, man, you can figure out a lot of stuff. Just one more thing here. On the first set of interviews, we learned all these people were very different. Different religions, different occupations, different lifestyles, he said. There's one thing they all have in common, and that is they have long-lived relatives.
Long-lived the relative?
Yeah, like long-live.
No, long-lived relatives, or maybe it's long-lived. Anyway, we'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll finish reading this.
Nothing you're saying is making any sense. I know you...
What are those?
I beg your pardon?
What are those?
These are tampons.
What?
Tampons.
Why are they sitting here, Margaret?
Well, now that the whole world knows, I'll use them somewhere else.
You're not going to actually put one in... Get the... Oh, my God!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We were doing this, just reading this story about the world's oldest person, and her name is Dina Manfredini, and she's a native of Italy, but she's been in the United States since 1920, roughly since she was 22 years old. And she's now officially the oldest person in the world, 116 years old. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, we're all interested in these, people that are elderly.
Except when Willard Scott, oh baby.
What's that?
You know, is if you got Harvey on the phone, I know he could speak to it because it used to drive. I know Harvey and Frank and I would sit around and on vacation, and sometimes we'd flip the TV on when Harvey's wife was alive, Carolyn, God rest her soul.
Yeah.
And we'd flip the TV on and see Willard Scott, and that's when, and it. I have to tell you, that's when we started on vacation now, so please understand. But that's when we started to bring out the ice bucket and we started to pour the first drinks of the day. And the reason being...
Willard Scott irritated you that much?
He irritated Harvey. And when Harvey started when Harvey got the party going, everybody was expected to...
Where were you guys vacationing?
Oh, lots of places. We were in the Bahamas. We were in Jamaica. We were in Mexico.
Harvey Wireman on the line from San Marino. Harvey, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
And do you know this Willard? You know Willard Scott?
I don't know Willard Scott. No, I Margaret's telling you the story, though, right?
Yeah. Well, she's saying that you guys started drinking when you guys would start to drink when you started drinking.
You guys started to drink.
What I'm saying is they started to drink when you started drinking.
Yeah, when we were on vacation. And I used to, when Carolyn, my wife, was alive. Now, you know, Carolyn's been gone a few years, but we'd vacation with the Grays. Now they're too good for me.
What does that mean?
I'm kidding. Take it easy.
We just had him to dinner last week.
Yes, they did. They're very nice. Now, but what I want to tell you is this guy, Scott. Willard Scott used to give me what we used to call the heebie-jeebie. Do you know that term, Phil?
Yeah.
And, Margaret, you know the term, right?
Yes, I know heebie-jeebies, yes.
All right, so when we'd be on vacation, Willard Scott was the weatherman for the Today Show on one of the networks, I forget.
NBC.
Was NBC, I forget about it. And Scott would say, and here is Mrs. So-and-so, and she's 158 years old. He'd lie, every day he'd lie with a new one, you know. Now, it was fine.
You thought he was lying, huh?
Thought he was lying? How could you believe the man? How can there be that many 180-year-old and this and that?
Well, there were never anybody, Harvey, I tried to tell him.
You didn't try to, Margaret. Don't talk about me like I'm not here, like I'm the, like I'm an uncle listing to one side in a wheelchair, and you're talking about where you want to warehouse me. Okay?
I don't mean any disrespect, but what I'm saying is, he never said 180.
Every day on that Willard Scott show, he said, and look at this, here's another one that's 100 and something. Didn't he say that?
I remember him always celebrating the birthdays of people that had reached 100.
Oh, no. If that was the case, it would be fine. If that was the case, it would be fine. But Scott didn't do that. He had, and here's a beautiful, the thing that, you know, he'd say, and look at this, isn't she beautiful? She's 150. Now, let's be honest about something.
Harvey.
Oh, no. Well, let's be honest. How beautiful is anyone going to be at 150? Right there, that was a lie. The fact that she's 150 is a lie. And the fact that Willard Scott is standing there with that big gap-toothed grin like he actually cares, that was the worst lie of all. Put it all together, and what have you got? Well, I filed multiple actions. I tried to get an injunction against Scott.
Boy, you know, I've never, ever attributed to you a frivolous lawsuit until now.
Did I say I filed a lawsuit?
Well, this is how he gets around.
No, this is not how I get around. I heard what you said. That's not how I get around. Did I say I filed a lawsuit?
No.
I filed an injunction. Hold on. Yeah. You know what an injunction is?
Yes, I do. You get somebody to stop doing something.
Yeah, and I filed an injunction with the district court in New York for a 72-hour stay on, and I did it wrong, and
If you'd done it right.
If I'd have done it right, Scott would be out of our lives today. But I didn't do it right. I said I was filing an injunction for a 72-hour stay on Willard Scott's whole act. And the judge saw that and looked at me, and I knew this guy a long time. I'd known this judge for at least 31 years. He and I came up together. We came up together as part of the DA's office in Los Angeles when I first went to work in L.A. And now he's back in New York, you know, a guy by the name of Gwillem Chambers.
Gwillem?
Yeah, Gwillem. That's what his parents saddled him with. They used to call him Willie.
Gwillem is Welsh.
I don't know. So I said, he looks at me, shakes his head. He said, Harvey, you ought to know better than this. He gets up, pulls his gown up, and I'd never seen a judge do this, and rubbed my request for an injunction about 5 or 6 times on his crotch.
Oh, Mike, are you kidding? You could have had him thrown out of, you could have had him taken off the bench.
Absolutely.
Well, here's what I did, because I know the guy. I said, you know, and then he said to me before, how many times did I rub that on my crotch? I said, I actually counted, Willie. I said, I think it was 6. He said, 7. He said, if you'd guessed right, I might have actually, he said, get out of my sight. And, of course, I took this injunction that he had just rubbed on it, on the crotch.
Yes, I understand. God, what is it with people, man? They want to hear things 2 and 3 times.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I'm not, God.
Phil.
What bug got up your rear end?
Nothing. You call Willard Scott a liar? I'm not going to call you a liar. I'm having a hard time believing this story.
Oh, I thought you knew Harvey. You know him well enough that he's not going to lie about this.
You're having a hard time believing the story, huh? I tell you what you do. You look up Willie Chambers. I'll give you his address. I'll give you his phone number. And you call him, and we'll do a 3-way. And by that, I mean a 3-way on the phone. I don't want some smart-ass like the Dickman.
You said 3-way.
Yeah, see? I don't want...
I understand what you mean.
All right. And I'm going to tell you, he took that all the paperwork that I'd worked on, and he rubbed it on his crotch 7 times, and he said, I'll never forget the parting line was something like, here, feed that to your dog.
What? You know what? How could this guy still be a friend of yours?
Oh, I love him. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy. And we go fishing twice a year. We go up to the Russian River.
This guy rubs. Can you hang on?
And we and what we do.
Can you hang on?
Go up to the Russian River, you know?
Harvey.
But I'll tell you, he's a great
Harvey fisherman.
Hold on. He can't hear us. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And then we've got brown trout. We go brown trout fishing near Bishop. You know, there's good brown trout there. Is there anyone there? Or did they go to a commercial break? Honey, get Grandpa's glasses, will you?
Okay.
And turn on the radio and see if I'm actually on the radio. They may be pulling a fast one.
Okay.
Phil Hendry.
This guy Hendry lies like a rug.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
He told me that.
All right, we're here with Harvey Wireman on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. He's talking to us about Willard Scott. So, you know, the oldest person in the world is now certified as an American from Iowa named Dina Manfredini. She is 116 years of age. The previous oldest person on Earth was also an American named Bessie Cooper of did they say Monroe, Georgia? And she was 116 or something, and that lady passed on, I believe, not too long ago. And this got us to talking about Willard Scott, and Margaret suggested that Harvey be a good guy to talk to because you used to get, she's claiming, Harvey, that the very sight of Willard Scott would cause you to start drinking.
I mean, when we were on vacation, Margaret knows the story, that Frank and myself and my wife, Carolyn. Carolyn liked to drink, and I thank God for that. A lot of men, a lot of women, they'll say, well, my husband and my wife, my husband and wife like to drink. And they would say, oh, that's, I love the fact, I thank God. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't thank God that my wife, Carolyn, loved to drink.
Why?
For somebody to drink with. What do you mean, why?
Well, were you guys abusive drinkers?
No, we weren't abusive. That's a hell of a question to ask. If I was an abusive drinker, there would be evidence of it, and you would be able to ask me about it. But I've had a long-standing career, and to talk that way about my wife...
Now, hold on for a minute. I'm not disrespecting your wife, Harvey.
When you asked, was she an abusive abuser? And I said...
Get abusive!
I meant to say, was she an abusive boozer? Didn't I say that?
No, you said, was she an abusive buser?
Well, you can figure it out. Why do I got to repeat it?
Because, Harvey, it doesn't sound... You're not making a very good case. Let me just say...
No, I'll make the case. The point that I'm saying here...
Did you not drag some kid 70 yards with your Cadillac?
That wasn't because I was drunk. That kid was out on the street with his little bicycle. I got in my car to drive to my home. In my car, I heard a bump, thud, bump. I heard a, what was the sound? I heard a bump, a thud, then a bump, and then the sound of, it sounded almost like fingers on a chalkboard. I heard another bump, then what sounded like a blender, and then it went quiet.
Well, what did you think was going on when you're hearing a bump and then another bump and then a...
I didn't say that, did I? I said I heard a thud and a bump. Now, there's a difference. You may be thinking that I'm splitting hairs. When you hear a thud and then a bump... Well, I don't know what you think, but...
If I hear a thud, a bump, the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard and a blender, I'm pulling my car over to find out what it is.
Well, good for you. You just won your next Boy Scout merit badge. Yeah. Yeah. Boy.
Harvey, I don't think that kind of sarcasm helps. You need to explain to Phil why you didn't immediately stop the car.
Because they'd been doing road construction. And because there were potholes and because there was a lot of loose asphalt. And I always like to do the joke, but I guess I shouldn't do it, huh?
What?
Well, I always say there's loose, and then I cut that word in half, the word asphalt.
Yeah, don't do that joke, because we're talking about something serious. You hit a kid.
Oh, he was okay.
But you dragged him.
I dragged him about 75 yards. And when I got out of the car, I saw a kid that was stuck on my, the kid was attached to the bumper, to the fender. And I said, well, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't, you know, I don't know what you're doing there. And so, close that door, will you? Right now, Phil, I've got a jet that we're fueling up outside because I'm flying to Laughlin tonight. And
you're fueling a jet outside your home?
Just outside on the back of the property here. Open the door so Phil can hear. You hear that?
Yeah.
All right, close it, will you? Honey, close it. So, the...
Boy.
Yeah, you know, it pays to be a successful man, Mr. Henry. So anyway, Willard Scott. So when that guy comes on the TV and says, hey, here's Mary Boo-Boo, or whatever her name is, and she's 100 and some odd years old, and I got so sick and tired of the lies, you know.
You don't know that the guy's lying. That's the thing that...
Oh, come on, Phil. How many 100-year-old people are you going to find every day? Every day the guy had somebody that was 100.
I don't think it was every day, Harvey.
Well, you know what? Thank you very much for your opinion, but you're wrong, too. Every single day they say, here's Willard Scott now with the weather. And I took notes, and I took very detailed and careful notes. And every day there was some old face that was staring back at me from a little, from what Willard Scott did. Okay?
There was an old face staring back at you as part of the Willard Scott presentation.
What does that mean?
When he came on to do the weather.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Willard Scott came on to do, there was some old bags.
See, I think the more you talk about this, you're not clear.
What does that mean? I'm senile?
No, you're saying that every day there was an old person on TV. You don't know if that was Willard Scott.
I didn't say it was Willard Scott.
No, I know you're not saying that, but you're saying that every day you watched Willard Scott, there was an old lady or an old man that he showed?
There was an old lady and an old man, yeah.
That he showed?
Well, what are you going to do? You going to cut hairs with me now? You know?
Well, Harvey, that's what this is about. It might have been a news story that was completely independent of the Willard Scott Report.
The Willard Scott Report. Get a load of her. Boy, you'd swear to God we're talking about Walter Conko, or whatever the guy's, you know, I used to watch him every day. I can't remember his name.
Walter Cronkite?
Yeah, Walter Cronkite. Cronkite.
No, the French is Cronkite.
All right. Goodbye, Harvey.
Well, thank you, because I'm so bored.
My God, you got rid of him fast.
Cronkite is what did it. I just want you to know. I want to go on record as saying you with that French pronunciation.
Oh, you're not hanging that one on me.
Yeah, that's what you do every day. Every day you do it.
We got time to take a couple of random phone calls. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com if you want to join us over there. Let's go over to Charlie. Charlie, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your program every night. I wanted to comment, Phil, on the story you were saying about Lindsay Lohan earlier. I don't know if the gentleman's still on there or not.
No, we don't have. That was Don Berman.
Mr. Berman is an individual I'm very familiar with since we came out here from back east in the 50s. I remember watching Mr. Berman on Channel 19 News. I saw the report on the drunk driving. I saw the report on the young woman that he was alleged to have sexually harassed. I saw the report on the young woman that he was alleged to have had the affair with that was married to a young GI who was stationed at the time, I think, was in Vietnam. I saw the report on the history of the litany of the lechery of this man.
That was lovely. Say that again.
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray. You said the history...
The history and the legacy of the lechery.
The history and the legacy of the lechery. That's beautiful.
Very, very alliterative, yes.
Yeah, well, thank you. But the history and the lechery and the lettery and the lechery, the history of the lechery of the litany of the, and it, you know, I noticed, Mr. Henry, a lot of people on your show get nervous and start stumbling all over themselves and sound like a jackball, and that's what's happening to me, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. The history of the litany of lechery.
Yes, that's it. The history of the litany of lechery of this individual is very well chronicled. So when Don Berman was on your show tonight, and he was talking about how he was giving $16,000 to Lindsay Lohan so she would be able to pay her storage bill, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. And when he said that he wanted her to, as a way of saying thank you, perform a private dance or a private lap dance or something for him at the name of his home, then I put two and two together.
What do you mean the name of his home?
Oh, you don't. Don has a name for his home.
Yeah, it's called the Lap of Luxury. So I knew this.
Don's home is called the Lap of Luxury.
Oh yeah, it's a very stately, 1930s, 1920s style mansion in Beverly Hills. The Lap of Luxury. And so when he said he wanted Lindsay Lohan coming to his home to do a private, I said, this guy, this piece of garbage wants a lap. He wants a lap dance as sure as his lap is ready for the lap dance,
So you figured that one out. Okay, well, that's great. I mean, Don, as you said, the history and the litany of lechery from that man, as you very well put it.
And couldn't say it twice.
Right, I was not able to say it twice, right.
But nonetheless, you're absolutely right. He's a lecherous guy.
Well, but I wanted to say, I called because I had predicted he was going to say that, but you didn't put me on the air, so...
Right.
Well, I thought you were giving away a shot glass.
No, sir, we're not giving away a shot glass. What made you think I was giving away a shot glass?
I thought if I called up and predicted what it was he was going to say, that I'd win a shot glass, but I guess not.
No. No, but good call, nonetheless.
All right. Is there going to be any time in the future when you're not so cheap? Because...
All right, there you go. That's it for the phone calls. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. What's the matter? I hung up on that jackass. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You can't make a shot glass for me?
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. During our break, I was perusing this next story, and thank you very much, Harvey Weierman, for your contributions to our program concerning Willard Scott and old people and who lies and who doesn't, and also the last caller. Boy, that phone screening, man.
Well, what do you want me to do? The guy called up and said...
Yeah, but the guy's trying to cop a free shot glass? Give me a break. Oh, by the way, for our 10,000th follower on Facebook, 10,000th follower, actually not our 10,000th follower, once we reach 10,000, and I don't know if we have we? But once we reach 10,000, we're going to draw for a winner of a one-year free subscription, as well as a bag of swag from the Phil Hendry Show. So that is forthcoming. Like I said, if we haven't already hit the 10,000 mark, I think we were pretty close before we went on the air. History's biggest scientific fraud. We got some science news for you guys. If you know anything about this radio show, you know we love our science. Oh, wait. First, NASA to crash two probes into the moon.
I don't know why you do that. The moon, man, no one cares about the moon, man. The moon just don't...
Moon doesn't get it done anymore.
The moon doesn't get it done anymore, huh?
Well, the moon, they already landed on the moon.
Well, I don't give a damn if they've landed on the moon.
What's your language, please?
I don't care if they've landed on the moon already. They're doing another thing with the moon. Basically, what's happening there is the two NASA moon probes will end their gravity mapping mission in spectacular fashion on Monday, crashing intentionally into a cliff near the lunar North Pole. The twin Grail spacecraft, known as Ebb and Flow, that's cute, will slam into the raised rim of a moon crater at 5:28 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, according to mission team members. The probes will impact about 20 seconds apart and each traveling at 3,760 miles per hour or so. Seems to me that there was an explosive plume or something in one of the moon missions.
Yeah, they dropped something. I forget what.
They dropped something. Well, anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I know what it was. It's the Apollo.
Oh, it was the lunar module that took them from the moon. It docked with the command module. The astronauts got out and into the command module, and they didn't need the lunar module anymore, and they dropped it, and I think it crashed into the moon's surface.
Yeah, and
it just, they captured the explosive plume of dust when it hit the, I don't know, it's just, it was an unusual photograph.
Wow, all of that way to run for that. I was waiting and waiting with bated breath.
All right, sorry to disappoint you, Margaret. Anyway, the crash zone is far from any area where previous moon missions, such as NASA's Apollo efforts, touched down, so Grail's final moments won't endanger sites of historical importance. The $496 million Grail mission, short for Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, launched in September 2011, and Ebb and Flow arrived in lunar orbit about 3 months later. The two probes have been zipping around the moon ever since, mapping its gravity field in unprecedented detail. Why did it take 3 months for it to get into lunar orbit?
I don't know. How long does it take to get a moon?
It only took the astronauts that landed on the moon a week.
What?
It took a week to fly the astronauts to the moon. So why does it take 3 months later? And they must have been screwing around doing something else.
Well, what do you mean screwing around? This is tax dollars.
I know. They weren't screwing around. They were obviously doing something else. Like maybe they're mapping some sort of scientific effects on Earth. You know, it got launched and 3 months later it hit the moon. I'm betting that it had some other...
Well, I hope so, because I don't know. These are computerized ships. And with advances in technology, I don't know. But I think it's a waste of taxpayers' dollars if these things are allowed to go into space and then, as you put it, and I think you put it very well, Phil, screw around and waste time.
Yeah, I don't know. Margaret, no computer that we've yet developed is going to screw around and waste time. That I know of.
Yeah, that's...
That you know of. What I'm saying is, and I'm going to be very clear because I don't want to keep repeating myself, because I do that a lot on this show, these lunar craft have these new super brain computers, do they not?
I don't know. They have sophisticated computers.
Well, aren't they the new super brains?
What do you mean by super brain?
But every time you talk... I lose another year off of my life.
Don't be rude to him. Now, what do you mean?
I mean the super brain, whatever takes us to the moon.
They are very advanced computers, yes. If you're saying, are they home computers? No, they're not the home computers that you and I use. There's not the iPhones, none of that. It is an advanced computer, and it does a lot, yeah.
All right. What I'm worried about as a taxpayer, and what you just alluded to with this particular mission... It launched and it arrived at the lunar surface 3 months later. Now, NASA is not going to say to the people of this country, we've got a problem, the craft took off and decided that it wanted to waste a lot of time and make everyone angry and got a big laugh out of it and then went to the moon. Why are you looking at me like that?
What computer? I don't know of any computer that's going to screw around and get a big laugh out of it.
I mean, what do you think it can do?
You're laughing at me, and that you know that doesn't... That won't end well. You know that, right?
Yes, I understand. What I'm saying, Margaret, is this. I don't believe any computer that we have yet launched with any spacecraft is sophisticated enough to take on a certain personality.
Well, it doesn't have to be a personality. It's a machine. It's been ordered to do this, ordered to do that, ordered to do this, ordered to do that. And I'm thinking it's going to get tired of that. And it's going to mess around, waste fuel, waste time, and then on its way to the moon, get a big laugh out of it. No?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Don't look at me like I've lost my mind.
Margaret, I don't know. Maybe it's because you're not... I'm not a scientist either, but I will tell you, I don't know of any computer that's going to get resentful and screw around and waste time.
Oh, is that right? And every child out there is just so sweet and lovable, and none of them are ever disobedient... Or throw their underwear on top of someone's head, like Jason Jay did on his father's head when he came in the other night, which made me very angry. Would you expect Jason Jay Delmonico to do that?
Yeah, he's a 14-year-old boy, yeah.
He took off his underwear and draped it over his father's head while he was asleep.
That sounds like something a 14-year-old kid's going to do.
And so the fact that I smacked him so hard the mouthpiece he uses for football flew out of his mouth?
I would say that that was an overreaction, yeah.
Well, guess what? You're wrong. Thank you.
Now,
no, I don't want to talk about the brain, the computer.
But you're the one that said a computerized brain's going to do stuff.
I said it's going to... It's going to F around and waste your money and mine and get its kicks that way.
I don't know that... I don't believe so, no.
Even with the evidence.
There's no evidence of it. 3 months to get to the moon could mean it had another mission.
Don't raise your voice to me. I think we've got a computer out there that thinks it's a real laugh.
And right now it's listening to us arguing.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show has been produced by Jesse Edwards and Phil Hendry, Dan Northcraft on vacation, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard have been our special members of our special panel here, folks. For more, go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com and get yourself a backstage pass and have all kinds of access to all kinds of fun. Indeed, indeed, indeed. This month, we're giving away free downloads. Until then... Then being Monday, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.